We're privileged tonight to have Tony and Christy Applegate with us. Also to have their children, Eliana, Elijah, Alexis, Elise, and Alora. They are our missionaries in Uganda, and they've been there since 2002. They've been involved in church planning, training nationals, and they've had a wonderful ministry with orphans. Our first overseas short-term missions trip was 7 years ago to go see the Applegates. And Tony served as my youth pastor for 4 years in Midland, Texas. And surprisingly, it did not drive him out of the ministry. Although it did drive him to Africa. God sends the right people in our lives at the moments when we need them most. And Tony Applegate came into my life at a moment when I desperately needed a spiritual leader to look up to. And I cannot overemphasize the influence that he's had upon my life. I'm grateful to God for his family. I'm grateful to God for him. He's going to come and preach to us and tell us a little bit about his field. So let's give him a good welcome tonight as he comes.
It is a joy to be here with you. We are very thankful, and I'm grateful to have a small part in Tyler's life and his ministry. We made a pact together. We would not tell a lot of stories, but I know as many stories as I could tell about him, the Gaymans could tell about me, so I have to be very, very careful. But I want to introduce my family to you. I know Tyler did a better job. Brother, it's Pastor Tyler, sorry. So I used to call him Tyler. Pastor Tyler did a better job than I have sometimes in giving my kids names. You did very well. EL kind of gets confusing after a while. I don't know why we did that. But when we did to the first three, we had to keep going to the other two. So we have continued it on. Many of you have been praying for our daughter Elise. And I want Christy to bring Elise up here. I want to give a special thank you to you all for praying for her. God has done some miraculous things in her life. And I am thankful for this young lady. I'm thankful for all my children. God has blessed me with a wonderful family and a wonderful wife. But let me come down here real quick. You know, it was when she was first born, we found out about her. We did not realize, or we were told that she might not make it to birth or a little bit past birth. And it was something that crushed us, and I'm going to talk just a little bit about this and how God has worked in my life through this area of faith, just because of this young lady and the beginning stages of her life. We took her to Vanderbilt Hospital when we came back to the States. They told us that she would probably never walk with the arthrogryposis condition that she has. And as we have come back this time, you know, we have a wonderful, miracle-working God, don't we? She has taken her first 17 steps. And please continue to pray for her as we go through two more surgeries. She has a robotic leg. And fortunately, she doesn't take it out on her brother very much, even though she would love to sometimes. But continue to pray for that. It was hard for Christy and I to get used to. We actually carry her around by that brace. It's more comfortable for her than with her foot, carrying her by her foot or her leg. But we still have to get that off. And then we also have to take some bone out of her hip to get everything else in line. Once that's done, before we go back to Uganda, Lord willing, in September, she'll be able to, hopefully, we're praying, to be able to walk with a walker for the first time. And to be able just to take some small journeys. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I know, again, we have a great, wonderful, miracle-working God. So thank you. I wanted you to see her because many of you have been praying for her and continue to pray for her as she goes through this fun, difficult journey in life. We have had a lot of opportunities to share our work as a missionary and also give the gospel at Shriners Hospital in St. Louis. Continue to pray with us as we deal with the doctors and the nurses that the Lord will open up those opportunities, more opportunities for us to give the gospel. When they see the smile on her face and they see the joy in her heart, that's what God does. Jesus Christ in us gives us a peace and a joy amid circumstances. The world does not understand that. They don't understand it. And so I'm very thankful for the testimony that our little daughter Elise has. Please continue to pray for her. I'm going to show a little 5-minute video presentation of what God has done, a little bit of the transition that we're going through in our lives right now, going to help start another church in a city or Kampala, the capital, right next to the capital in Namugongo. So we're going to show that to you here quickly, and then I'll come back up and tell you a little bit more.
Winston Churchill called Uganda the Pearl of Africa because of the captivating scenery, lush vegetation, and the beautiful people. We are the Applegate family. God has allowed us to serve as full-time BIMI missionaries in Uganda since 2005. After serving in a town ministry for 6 years, we moved to the village and helped start Imbieta Baptist Church and Grace Project, an orphan boarding ministry of the church. God orchestrated opportunities for preaching, soul winning, advising the leadership of Imbieta Baptist Church, while also developing the Grace Christian Secondary School and chairing the board of Grace Christian Primary School alongside fellow missionary Jim Tellman and other national leadership.
Our family began ministering in Imbieta Village in 2011. My main ministry has been homeschooling and taking care of the household. But it has also been my privilege to lead the ladies' meetings and Bible studies, disciple some of the high school girls, and help a lady in the church learn to read Luganda.
Tragedy struck in 2017 with the sudden death of our national pastor, John Jones Kalanzi. JJ left behind his wife, 5 children, 80 orphan children who called him father, and over 100 people who called him pastor. During the hurt and confusion of JJ's death, the passage, "As for God, his way is perfect," continued to be a source of comfort and peace. It was very fitting the last sermon JJ ever preached was entitled, "Who Do You Trust?" encouraging church members to trust in God above all else. Starting in 2015, God began stirring in our hearts the desire to plant another church. In July of 2017, in the parking lot of a shopping center in Kieta Town, God made it clear to us this was the next place our family should minister. As we met with the Dwyer family on the parking lot, we realized how God had been preparing both of our families to work as a team in this new church planting ministry.
The Bible says in the book of Lamentations that mine eye has affected my heart. That is exactly what happened to me when I had the opportunity to visit the nation of Uganda and to see firsthand the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. I'm so pleased that our church in the States is the sending church of the Tony Applegate family. And we as a congregation are delighted that the Lord is leading them to participate in this new church plant. I want to thank you for your investment in this ministry, which is undoubtedly going to result in the reaping of a harvest of souls. I believe that only eternity will reveal what this partnership has done to affect souls for eternity and to advance His church in God's kingdom. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Upon our return to Uganda, we will move to the Namugongo area of Kieta Town to work with the Dwyer family at Faith Baptist Church. With Faith Baptist being the only independent Baptist church in an entire county of over 1 million people, we have a vision for many more churches to be started in this fast-growing region. I will have the privilege of participating in pastoring, preaching, and discipling. Additionally, I will be training leaders through East Africa Baptist College and in national pastors' fellowships in various parts of the country. One of the greatest missionaries of all time, the Apostle Paul, declared a prayer for the growth of the Church of Colossae, which is our desire as well, that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy unto God and be fruitful in every good work, strengthened with all might with God's power. God is doing great things. Your prayers do make a difference. Please continue to pray as we represent you planting churches in Uganda.
Amen. As you pray for us, I really had a burden in my heart to begin praying more for you. And praying for Pastor Tyler before we came out here is that we as missionaries, we have so many churches many times praying for us and our needs and giving things to us. And God's laid a burden on my heart, and I'm purposing in my own heart to start praying for those churches that support us. And God is doing a great work here. I've just sensed the Lord working, and things are growing. People are being saved. Lives are being changed. It's a wonderful thing to see. We don't see that as we travel all the time. And so I'm very thankful to have seen this today, to be a part of it, to spend all day with you today. Turn in your Bibles with me, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I'm just going to lay out my heart to you tonight. Some things that God has worked in me regarding tough times. Probably the hardest ministry year of my life was last year. As you saw in the video, the death of a good friend, pastor, a man who had endeared himself to the hearts of hundreds of people, including children and orphans, the people in the surrounding villages. He had just gained their trust and their love, and had really, we'd seen God do a mighty work through his ministry come to a tragic end with a car accident. And it was a tough experience for me. And I'll tell you a little more about that here, but I want to look at Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. It says, verse 18, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised," I love verse 21, says, "and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Man, that has helped me so much in my 13 years of full-time missionary work on the field. Through the ups and downs in life. You know why? Because I know that God has called me to Uganda. The difficulties that we faced, and there are numerous stories I can tell you, and we all can go through these stories. If you were to relate to me tonight, you could probably tell me stories that you have faced or things you have had happen to you in the last year that have been devastating to you. But what God calls you to do, what he asks you to be a part of, whether ministry or life, he gives you the strength and the ability to carry those out and to perform them. I love that. I love that. Now, we're going to talk about a faith meter. We see three different types of faith here, levels of faith here, when it comes to Abraham's life. Now, fortunately, he passed the test in all three. Even though he did struggle, we could look at struggles he had in these two areas before the third one we'll mention. But I want you to look in your own heart tonight. I want you to look into your own life. And as we talk about these three areas, I call it a faith meter, I want you to see or evaluate where you are tonight in this area of faith. We have saving faith, we have sanctifying faith, a faith that doesn't waver as we continue to move on as Christians. But this is where I want to challenge you as God has challenged me. 19 years ago, Christy showed me my initials, and I've told this story. You know, Pastor Tyler knows the story. But when my wife showed me the initials, my initials, in a Bible she's had since seventh grade. And I won't go into the whole story because it'll take me about an hour and a half. But it was unique because we had known each other since we were 3 years old. Never got along, fought like brother and sister. My mom, since you babysat us, my mom was always pushing us together. We ran in different circles, went to the same elementary up to high school. She left in 10th grade. We got back together, not together, but we came back together at college at Pensacola. Never dated. And it wasn't until my third year as youth pastor in Midland that God began working in my heart regarding Christy. And I really struggled. I battled with the Lord because she knew everyone that I dated. She knew what I was like from when I was 3 years old up until that point. I said, Lord, this is crazy. She's not going to give me the time of day. And I even was foolish enough to make a statement as we were, I think this was my senior year, as we were graduating. I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but I just don't like short women. That's how much of a knucklehead I was. And so as I was thinking back about all these things, foolish things that I had said at times, and how she knew so much about my life, I said, Lord, what are you asking me to do here? And I prayed for about 3 months. I'll never forget, as I told her I was going to call her on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and was going to tell her something God had laid on my heart. Now, I didn't know if she was dating anybody. She didn't know if I was dating anybody. We were just talking about, you know, her. She was in Guam at the time, about her teens or junior hires that she was teaching, and I was talking about my teens I was working with in Midland. As I called her, I talked for 45 minutes trying to work up the nerve. I was saying, Lord, are you sure? Even though he had given me a peace, this is what I'm supposed to do. But as here is mentioned in the first step of faith, a weak faith, my faith was weak at this stage. I was saying, Lord, are you sure? And God said, yes. I'll never forget, as I continued on the phone, after 45 minutes, finally working up the nerve, I said, Christy, I said, the reason why I'm calling you is because I feel like we should be together. That's how quiet it was on the other end. I wanted to hear something. And as she answered me back eventually, it seemed like to me for an hour, but it was probably 15, 20 seconds, she said, you know what, Tony, God doesn't work one-sided. She said, where do we go from here? Are we friends? Are we dating? What are we doing? I was so excited that she didn't slam the phone down or say no, that I said, we're going to tell our parents we're getting married. We were unofficially engaged. We had not seen each other in 3 years. So I felt like it was kind of important that we go see each other. It had been 3 years. I'll never forget, and this gets back to the beginning of my story, that we went and ate at this wonderful restaurant. We went to a beautiful overlook there in Guam, and she pulled out this Bible she had since seventh grade. I began to see my initials next to Psalms and Proverbs. I was thinking, oh boy, imprecatory psalms. She was praying damnation down on me early on. But she told me the story. She said, in seventh grade, I asked her to a sports banquet. She refused me. After that sports banquet, God began to work and reveal in her heart that she was going to marry me someday. From seventh grade all the way till I was 26 years old, she was waiting for that phone call. Faith, strong faith. Now, she would tell you there were times when she fought the Lord on it because of how she saw even my life. I was a month away from being married to somebody else before I went to Midland, Texas to be youth pastor. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And as I saw my wife's faith at that point, it just overwhelmed me. And I praised the Lord. You know, God knows who you need in your life to help you get through those tough times. He knows the mate you need to have in your life. And God has provided me with a wonderful lady, a godly lady that has helped me through the difficult times. And I love her. But that was a tremendous show of faith to me. As we discuss these three types of faith that we see here mentioned in this passage, first of all, we see a weak faith. We see a weak faith. Now, Abraham, it says here, and being not weak in the faith, which is amazing to me. They were 100 years old, and they were told they were going to have a child. Now, I probably would have been weak at that moment, because that just doesn't happen. But as we look at Abraham's life, we know Sarah laughed at the time But we realize as God promised that there, he was going to make a mighty nation through Abraham, Abraham believed in what God said was going to happen. And it came to pass. This word for weak or sick faith is to be in a state of incapacity or weakness, to be weak, to be unable to be limited in, to be sick. You know, as being in Uganda, we have a lot of sicknesses. And malaria is one of them. And I've had malaria probably 5 times. And I used to think I was rather tough. And God kind of humbled me with the sickness of malaria. Because anyone who gets malaria realizes that you're not very tough, especially after you've had it for an extended period of time. I got to the point where my partner, Keith Stensis, who I was working with there at the beginning of my ministry, he literally had to carry me into the hospital because my body was so depleted and dehydrated. I remember I got to the point where I was hallucinating and seeing all kinds of crazy things that were going on all around me. I was sick. My body couldn't do much. I could barely lift an arm. I could barely raise my head. And as I was thinking through this idea of a weak, sick faith, I realized as I looked at the sickness of malaria and how it affected my physical body, many of us, because of sin that we've allowed to come into our lives as Christians, because of our lack of understanding the Lord and who he is and what he means to us in life, that we go about our Christian life having a weak, sick faith. Not trusting in God. That what he promised us that he would do, that he was able to perform it. It's a sad state to be as a Christian, having a sick faith as we continue to live our lives. God has given so much through his word to us to help bolster us, to help us live our life every day. When we first went to Uganda, I remember for the first 6 months, the many things that God put me through, things that I was not taught how to deal with in college and seminary. I thought I was ready. I'm ready to go to Uganda. I'm ready to take part in the work. I'm ready to let God work through me. And I'll never forget, probably in the first, 2 or 3 months, if not all the way to 6 months, I went through a situation to where I was brought up on charges of kidnapping. Now, they didn't teach me how to deal with that in seminary and Bible college. It was a situation, I was helping a young couple go through a tough time in their life. They were going through some situations where they had committed immorality. I was getting them back to their homes, put them on the bus. The girl never made it to her home. So out of some different circumstances that happened in third world countries and bribery, one of the brothers was trying to get me into trouble, and so I had to go sit in a tin hut, sweating to death, wondering if I was ever going to get out or if I was going to go to prison. And the Lord spared me going to prison. That was one instance. I'll tell you another one. There were probably 3 or 4. Another one was, there was a man who was leading singing in the church, one of the leaders in the church, and I had heard some rumors I was going to question him about, and I remember going to his house. And those rumors were debunked as I talked with him. They were false. But he began to tell me, Pastor, the pastor who was here before, the national pastor who had resigned and gone to the Capitol, was working with me in an area that I was struggling with. And I was trying to kill and poison my wife. Now, this guy was a chemistry professor. And so he had the opportunity to put concoctions together to poison his wife. And I'll never forget, I said, Brother, why were you wanting to poison your wife? And I'll never forget what he said, because it floored me. I didn't even know how to answer it at the time. He said, I'm trying to poison my wife because she gets on my nerves. Men, how many of us would be dead? I think all of us. I said, Lord, okay, where do I go from here? I began talking with him, and he was giving me some good answers. I was giving him scripture. He came before the church. He was supposed to apologize, but long story short, he got up in front of the church and said, this missionary's green. He doesn't know what he's doing. And basically, he walked out of the church with about 5 or 6, if not 10 people with him. That was tough. And I remember sitting on my bed, and I remember tears coming to my eyes and saying, Lord, I was not ready for this. This is not supposed to happen. I had all these plans and goals and dreams, And yet, God was putting me through the crucible to help me understand that it's not through my strength. It is through His. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I began to have verses flood back through my mind. Verses that He had used in my life before. And I hope you memorize Scripture. It is so important. When you go through those trying times and your faith becomes weak and you're struggling and you're being tossed to and fro, you can say as 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Acts 20 and verse 24, Paul says, "None of these things move me. Neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." What does it take to move us? When our faith is strong, nothing will move us as we continue to trust in God. We see a sick faith, and we see examples of a sick faith. Gideon, as he laid the fleece out, not once, but twice, not trusting that God would take care of him. We see King Saul, who trusted in his abilities, his stature, his strength, and his world came crashing down, didn't it? We have a lot of examples, but praise the Lord, we have some great examples of men who stood the test. Joseph. I have some great heroes of the faith in my life that I've looked up to. Franklin Road Baptist Church, I called him Machine Gun Kelly. A lot of people did. A man who stood the test, preached the word, stayed strong, had a strong faith. We don't have to be weak. Secondly, we see a staggering faith. Staggering means to be in strife with oneself. And boy, do we have a lot of Christians who are in strife with themselves regarding doctrine, regarding pressures from the world. It means to doubt, to hesitate, to waver. James chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." A good friend of mine, I'm not going to mention his name, it was a tragedy that took place. Again, long story, I'll make short. But it was a young man who I knew he was near and dear to me. Went through college together, spent some time in ministry together. And yet through some circumstances in his life, he really began to waver. He was ministering as a pastor. Situation happened with his wife. He began to run from the Lord. Eventually committed suicide. As I saw his website that he had put up, as I looked at the different circumstances surrounding his life, it crushed me. I said, "Lord, please strengthen my life. Help me never to get to a point to where I'm wavering to and fro like a wave tossed in the sea. I'm not putting my eyes. Help me to always put my eyes on you and not to let me stray from the truth which you have implanted in my heart since the time I was very little." And I encourage all of you, maybe some of you tonight, you're doubting, you're like that boat that's being tossed in the wave to and fro. You're struggling, you're getting seasick in your faith. We have a rock. We have a rock to go to stand on, to help us with that seasickness, to help us with those difficulties in life. And when we stand firm on the truth, the rock of Jesus Christ, we will never falter. We will never fail. Last year, as I was called out early in the morning, as Pastor JJ's wife came to our door, was knocking, and as she was beginning to weep and wail, saying, "Masumba afude, masumba afude," meaning the pastor has died. And as I was trying to get the circumstances to understand what was happening, we got into a vehicle. We heard the accident was only a couple of kilometers down the road. I almost had made it home. And I took some of our orphan kids with me. those that looked to him as Father. Of course, they were hoping to see, I was hoping to see him still alive or have some opportunity to be able to help him. As we got to the vehicle, this has never happened to me in my life, but they were pulling the body out, laying it there on the ground. And I remember going up to him, and as the kids that had looked up to him and had gotten counsel from him, as they were gathering around, as they were lifting his hand, you know, as they were getting close, and I did too, I got close to his face just to see if there was any breath, just to see if there was any movement of the eyes or if I could feel a pulse. And there were I have to be honest with you. There were moments there where I said, Lord, why? We had a school of 300 kids. We had the orphan boarding section of 80. We had a church that was growing. I said, Lord, why? Next 72 hours was a blur. We had three memorial services. And as we had opportunity after opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I thank the Lord he gave me the strength to do during that time, I personally did not see anyone come to Christ at that point. But over the next 7 months, as God gave me peace in my own heart, as I realized the verse, as for God, his way is perfect. His way is perfect. We might not understand everything that takes place, but we know he has a reason. As people's eyes began to go off of JJ, their pastor, which many of them were looking to him, their eyes were turned to God. I'm not saying that's why God took JJ. I don't know why, necessarily. But people were beginning to look to God. People were beginning to look at their own hearts, and they were beginning to check their own faith. Sometimes even their saving faith, saying, did I really truly profess Jesus Christ? And there were some of those young people who truly came to know Christ as their Savior, began to grow in Christ. Over the next 7 months after his death, it happened at the end of March, by the time we came back here, we left for furlough, we saw more people saved, more people getting discipled than we had seen in the first 3.5 years of ministry there in the village. As we had moved out there, God has a purpose. And as we trust in God, as we see and understand what he's doing through his word, he will show us, as we are strong, what he wants us to continue doing, the part we will play in this life. As we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, as we lean not on our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledge him, he will direct our path. And that brings us to the final point here, a strong faith. We have a strong faith because we have a right hope. Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope. As we look at Abraham's life, there was no hope there physically as they looked at having a child. But he believed in what God had promised him was going to happen. We looked at Elise's life, and there wasn't much hope for her to walk, but we see that God has provided a way for her to walk. I tell the people in Uganda, many of them who are entrenched in witchcraft, having that warfare. I remember JJ, before he passed away, we had a ceremony where people brought all of their witchcraft trinkets, and it took some years for people to get to the point where they did that. They feared this so much. They were afraid, of this so much. Things that had been gone, they'd taken to the witch doctor and put charms on them or ways to protect them from the evil spirits. But we brought all those together, put them in the middle of the congregation. And I remember watching JJ, and I think even a little bit as he lit the fire to those, that he even jumped back some. Just because it's so ingrained in them, the power of Satan in their lives. And what they have seen physically with their own eyes take place that is supernatural, that you would not even understand, and I did not even understand when I first went there. But what was beautiful is that when I could show and tell people, and yes, by the way, all those trinkets burned up. He put a little gasoline on them. They all burned up. It was dead silent as people were watching the smoke rise, wondering if some big spirit was going to jump out and attack them. But nothing happened, of course. Because we know greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. It's a great show of power by our mighty God. But what I tell them is that, yes, you see things with your physical eyes, supernatural things, but what you see now, that I believe is even a greater miracle and shows more power than what you have seen growing up through witchcraft, is somebody's life being changed and transformed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody who's wrapped up in witchcraft, who is possessed, and we've seen a couple instances, and I've been a part of that, where we've had a couple of the younger kids growing up that have been demon-possessed, and we've had to pray, we've seen them delivered, and one come to know Jesus Christ. But the life being transformed, having victory over sin and death. Somebody who's entrenched in addiction to be able to change. That's power. That's true power. We have that in Jesus Christ. We have that as we look at God and as He continues to build us in our faith. Not only do we have the right hope, we have the right focus. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. When our eyes are solely looking to Christ in every aspect of our life, we look full in His wonderful face. Those things of earth, as the song goes, will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We have our focus on God. It helps us get through the mire of many times when the world tries to put our focus on it, and through the pressures and through the suffering and through the difficulties. But our strong faith comes as we have a right focus. Comes as we have a right motive. Our motive is to give glory to God, not to ourselves. And God has had to really put me through the crucible on this, not relying in my own strength, but relying in God's strength through me. The only way I'm going to make it. It's the only reason I've been on the mission field for 13 years now. And it's the only way that I will continue to doing the work for the Lord. I realize it's through His strength and not mine. And then finally, the right degree of faith. Fully persuaded. God allows us to have that as we continue to grow in Him. Are you fully persuaded tonight? Fully persuaded that what God has asked you or has convicted you to do, maybe in ministry, maybe talking to that neighbor, maybe, becoming involved in some aspect here, and you say, Lord, I can't do it. I don't have the strength. But God says, I want you to do it, and I'll give you the ability to do it. And we can be fully persuaded in that. I remember when I was young, I could not stand in front of people. I was shy. My first message lasted for 5 minutes, and I read it on a piece of paper. I'll never forget it. It was when I was in ninth grade in front of the youth group. I said, Lord, I can't get in front of people. But as the Lord continued to strengthen me and showing me that this is what I want you to do in your life, I put my trust in Him, and He gave me the strength, gave me the ability to be able to stand in front of others and to share from His Word. How is your faith tonight? Is your faith weak? Is your faith are you staggering? Are you being tossed back and forth? Is your faith strong? No better way to live the Christian life than to have our eyes focused on Christ continually. And you know what? It can be done. I used to get so tired, even when I was youth pastor, but as I've been in Uganda, of people saying, Pastor Tony, it is impossible to live the Christian life. It's impossible to be consistent. It's impossible. I said, no. Because the Word of God tells me, Philippians 4:13, what does it say? And you all could probably quote it. I can do what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is possible. We can have the victory. We can live this life consistent, doing what is right, trusting in God, being faithful. with heads bowed and eyes closed. As God is working on your heart, I'm going to turn the invitation over to Pastor Tyler to take as he sees fit. But I hope in your life, as God has worked in me so much in the last year, strengthened my faith, that he will do the same for you. Whatever thing you're struggling with, whatever you're battling with tonight, whatever difficulty you're facing, God has the answer. And we can be fully persuaded. We can be fully persuaded that he will be able to perform what he has called us to do. Pastor Jill.
Let's stand, please. Brother Johnson is going to lead us in a verse of invitation here in just a moment. The most important kind of faith and where faith begins is in saving faith. Has there ever been a time and place in your life where you asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? We don't want to take that for granted on a Sunday night. So if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, now leave your seat. Someone will meet you up front with an open Bible and show you how tonight you can put saving faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here facing a challenge tonight. We heard a lot about challenges this evening. How's your faith this evening? Is it sick? Is it staggering? Is it strong? Why don't you come this evening? Whatever challenge or trial you may be going through, come and put your faith in God and ask him for the kind of strong faith we heard preached about this evening.